Maybe Daniel doesn't deal with the future. Then again, maybe it does. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is Key Life, a program designed to tell Christians that God isn't mad at them. Bible teaching to help get you home. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Daniel. Now, yesterday, and I hope you were listening, I took the time to just generally and very quickly, far too quickly, summarize chapters 7 through 12, which are the prophecy sections of the book of Daniel. And I'm not going to go into detail on the book of Daniel. Some of you guys, this is your field of expertise. It is not mine. I, when I was younger, did a lot of teaching on prophecy, and I did the charts, and I was sure that Jesus was going to come back in 1984. He didn't come back in 1984, and I decided I'm not going to talk about this a lot much anymore. Actually, I'm kidding. I never said that. But I was pretty sure it was going to happen pretty soon, and then I thought, well, maybe not, or maybe it's going to be a long time. St. Francis was working in his garden one time and said, what would you do if you knew that you were going to die or Jesus was going to return today? St. Francis said, I would keep working in my garden. That means he was doing what God told him to do. And prophecy, just so you can know a lot of stuff, is not the reason for prophecy. Prophecy is to comfort you. Prophecy is to let you know that God's in control of history and that history is his story. Prophecy is given particularly, 1 Peter says, for those who live in the time which is prophesied. Peter says that it was written by the prophets, and they didn't even understand what they were saying, that prophecy was written for your sake because you're living in the time when Christ returned. And I assume that God hasn't changed his mind, and that's still the reason he gives prophecy. Now, I think it's interesting for us to study prophecy, and I think it's interesting to look at those passages in the Bible, great portions of the Bible, like these chapters in the book of Daniel, and like the entirety, after you get through the churches in Revelation, the entirety of the book of Revelation deals with these kinds of things. The books that look to the future, or that seem to, at any rate. And it's fun to look at them. It's fun to begin to say, how could any of this have happened? Frankly, in our day, there are things that are now possible that were not possible even 20 years ago. For instance, the Internet. So everybody can see everything at the same time. That hasn't always been true. We didn't have the atomic bomb at one time. How could some of these awesome, horrible things that are described in Daniel in the book of Revelation take place? And now we know they really could take place. For instance, the return of Israel, of the Jews to Israel, their ancient homeland. Now, there are many people, including Jewish rabbis, many of whom are Orthodox living in Israel, who do not believe the return of the Jews to Israel in the 40s is a sign of prophecy. But I can't help but think that has something to do with it. And all of a sudden, we're faced with something else that's very important as we deal with those kinds of things. So it's fun to look at the prophetic books to say, you know, it may be just that which is happening, but you've got to be careful. You need to know that the church fathers thought that Jesus was coming in their time. You need to know that the early church felt Jesus was coming in their time. You need to know that the reformers felt Jesus was coming in their time. You need to know that the preachers and the teachers of the evangelical awakening felt Jesus was coming in their time. And personally, I feel that Jesus is coming in my time. But I could be wrong, just as they are wrong. And I don't believe God did that by accident. I think he wanted all of us to live in a time when it could be our time. And Jesus said, when they asked him the time, that nobody knew the time. He said, I don't even know it. Only God knows the time. So be careful of people who set dates, who are absolutely sure that these times that are prophesied are taking place in our time. May not be true. But it could be. a lady who was extremely significant in my own spiritual life. Her name was Mrs. Gordon. We called her Aunt Gordy. She had a house in the mountains of North Carolina, and she loved teenagers, and we used to go to her house. She used to teach sometimes on prophecy, and sometimes she would go and open the windows of her house, and she'd look out over my hometown, Asheville, North Carolina, and she would say, "You know, today could be the day. Today could be the day." And I remember after I had been with Aunt Gordy for a couple of years, I went as far as you can go in the other direction. But when I came back home after being in a far country, I thought about what she said. And she was home with the Lord by then. And I thought about what she said, and I thought, you know, that was wise. That's how Christians ought to live. Today could be the day when God blows the whistle and says it's over, and he turns the last page of history, and everything that is wrong is made right, and every book is balanced, and every knee bows before Jesus, the King of Kings. Now, for some of you who are flipping across the dial when that happens, it's going to be too late to make a decision. For some of us who have already made that decision about him, we're going to welcome him, and we're going to say, I'm going to elbow you and say, man, doesn't he shine? Is that something else? Isn't that something? And listen to me. You may not even, because this is recorded, you may not even hear this broadcast. Because Jesus will have returned by the time we get it on the air. Okay, and that's what I want to say by way of introduction. But I can't do this without getting a lot of letters. Don't send me letters. We did this one other time when I taught the book of Revelation, and I just don't want to deal with all that stuff. I'm going to give you a lot of alternative views, and you can study the Bible. My father used to say, when I didn't understand a word that he used, son, I'm not going to do your homework for you. Look it up in the dictionary. Well, I'm going to give you a dictionary. You can look it up, and you can make your own decisions. All right. Let me give you six possible interpretations of these prophetical books, particularly these chapters we summarized, and in particular, Daniel 9, 20 through 27. First, there's the historical interpretation. Now, according to this view, Daniel was not written when the book of Daniel says it was written. It was rather written much later in the 2nd century B.C. Now, the reason people, and we've gone over this, and if you were listening, you won't need this material. Some people teach the book of Daniel, and they're generally people who are quite liberal, that it could not have been written when it was traditionally accepted as being written, because it predicted the future that had not taken place yet. Therefore, we know that nobody can do that, so the book of Daniel must have been written at a later date. And we dealt with that fairly extensively when we talked about it. They say that this book was written during the time of Antiochus, and it may be, and that it was written for one purpose, and that is that covenant people would bear up under the suffering that they were facing at that time and through which they had gone. The 70 years that are prophesied in the book of Daniel are often by these people who interpret the prophetic chapters in this way. The 70 years are the Babylonian period, and the anointed one spoken of there is none other than Cyrus. According to this view, the 490 years or 70 weeks ends at the restoration of the temple in 164 B.C. In this view, Daniel is not giving a prophecy. He's just reviewing history in a systematic way. Thus, the book of Daniel is untrue if you teach it as a prophetic book that looks to the future. Now, of all the interpretations I'm going to give you, you need to know that I think this is the least true. However, in the biggest possible untruth, you can always find something that's helpful, and you can find that here. Remember I said that prophecy is given to encourage believers. Remember what Jesus said when he talked about the future. He said to his disciples, he said, I'm telling you this, so that when this happens, you won't be surprised by it, and you will be encouraged through it. Well, I believe that prophecy is given for that reason. Even if we don't know the details, we're going to look at some of them. Even if we don't understand every sentence of the book of Daniel, there's the sense when you read it that something big is going on here. and that in the midst of the bigness that God cares and looks after his people. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to happen or the details of the end time, but I suspect it's going to get worse before it gets better. Almost everybody believes that, whatever they believe about the tribulation. They believe that things are going to get a lot worse before they get better. So in the sense that people are making fun, putting down, deriding your Christian faith, that's probably going to continue. It's probably not going to get fixed till Jesus gets back. There's some problems that are simply not going to get solved until Jesus comes, until he returns. There's some things that are just not going to be worked out until Jesus comes back. And if you're in the midst of that, it's a pretty scary time. It's pretty difficult. There'll be all kinds of questions. And when you read the book of Daniel and you read the book of Revelation, there is this sense underneath it all, even if you don't understand it all, there is this sense that God's in control and that you can be comforted and that you can lean on him. And you can lean on him hard. And so there is a sense that even though I don't accept this interpretation, the truth they draw from it, one of comfort, is from God. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Let me tell you how it works. Give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. Or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or in Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask to be a part of the Key Life Tape family. Thereupon, you will start receiving a tape every 7 or 8 weeks, and they come automatically, and they keep coming as long as you want them. These are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can get those, and if you ask us how, we'll tell you how you can subscribe to those. These are places where I teach the Bible at Reformed Theological Seminary, at the Cove, a missions conference, or a Bible conference, and we send those tapes out. And they're absolutely free. And don't you dare not ask to be a part of it because you can't send a contribution. But if you could help us financially, I promise we'll be honest and fair and efficient with your gift. Our books are open, so you know how we use the money. Only a small percentage of people are able to help us financially. And if you can help us, you help a lot of other people. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send you the tape Dealing with Fear. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.